The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And welcome to all the folk who are watching on the YouTubes and the Facebooks, because, you know, there's a lot of people that they're still not coming out. And it's important to remember the blanket dispensation against the Sunday obligation that's still in force. God bless you for being here on this Sunday of opportunity, right? We're not thinking obligation, we're thinking opportunity. Little tiny thought for you here for the day. Just a little tiny thought for you. Maybe you can mull over for the course of the week. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And everybody knows the commandments. No secret there. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Everybody knows all the commandments. What I ask you to think about here, you might have never thought about this before. Think about why we should keep the commandments. Why be morally bound? Why not just do whatever you want? Why keep the commandments? Maybe you've never thought about it before, but just stop and think about it, okay? Stop and think about that question. A lot of people will instinctively answer, why keep the commandments? They'll say, well, because they're commandments and they come from God. That's why. He didn't call them the 10 suggestions. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And I cannot argue with that. There is nothing wrong with thinking that way. It's just that we want to take it a step further. You know, it is part of our Catholic heritage to understand our faith. It's like what St. Peter said in the second reading, be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within you. Part of our Catholic heritage, faith, seeking, understanding, fides, querens, intellectum. So let's take it a step further, okay? Why keep the commandments? You might answer, why keep the commandments? Well, because if I break the commandments, I might get punished. I'd love to steal something, really I would. But I might get arrested, so I don't. That's not the top of the moral stairs, but it's a reason, okay? And I can't say there's anything wrong with that reason, but let's take another step, shall we? Why keep the commandments? Take it another moral step up the ladder, and somebody might say, well, why keep the commandments? Why not lie, for example? Because I don't want someone to lie to me. Why keep the commandments? Because it's fair. We need to be fair to one another. And that also is a reason. It's not the highest reason in the world, but there's nothing wrong with it. But let's keep going. Why keep the commandments? Somebody might answer, well, because breaking commandments hurts people. That's why. Adultery destroys families, and lies destroy friendships, and theft destroys societies. And what kind of a world do you want to live in? The commandments hold the world together. And there's nothing wrong with that either, okay? But let me take it even a step further. Suppose I could give you a magic wand. And whenever you wave your magic wand, your actions have no consequences. Steal whatever you want, lie all you want, nobody will ever find out. Magic wand. Now is there a reason to break the commandments or to keep the commandments? Well, somebody might answer back, yeah, there's still a great reason, and it's called divine judgment. Doesn't matter what anybody else sees, God sees everything. There's going to be a divine judgment, and I've heard there's this place called hell, and it's not very pleasant. And I have no interest in going there. And there's nothing wrong with that line of reasoning either. But let me take it one last step, okay? One last step. Let's imagine, let's pretend that there's no such thing as divine judgment. Let's just pretend that there's no such thing as hell. We know there is. We're just doing a little mental exercise here, okay? But let's pretend like there's no judgment, there's no hell, you've got your magic wand, you can do whatever you want, and there's no consequences to any of your actions now. Is there any reason to keep the commandments? And the answer to that is yes. And the reason for that is love. The greatest reason that has not been talked about at all in all of our moral reasoning is the greatest reason to keep the commandments. On the night before he died, Jesus said to his apostles, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And when he said that, he tied the doing of God's will to the existence of love in this world. Love is the only thing in heaven or on earth that is an end in itself. Love is what God is made of, and it is what you are made for. Love is the reason for your existence, and it is the meaning of life. And if you want to know any of that, the way in which love is made real in this world, as Jesus said to us right here in this gospel, is by keeping his commandments. That is the greatest reason, and a reason that stands all by itself. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. A lot of people will hear that and they'll think that what Jesus means by that is, if you love me, then prove it. And the way you prove it is by keeping my commandments, and I'm waiting, right? Well, that's not what Jesus meant. I can give you two reasons why that's not what Jesus meant. First reason is that that would turn love into a human achievement. Love is not something you earn in exchange for doing God's will, because love is always a free gift. There's no such thing as an exchange in love. It's always a free gift with nothing expected in return. I think I might have told you about the college chaplain who I once knew. And his students asked him for Christmas, "Can we have a gift exchange?" And he says, "You cannot ever have a gift exchange." And they said, "Why can't we have a gift exchange?" And he says, "Because a gift is freely given. And an exchange is when something you expect to get something back in return. So a gift exchange is a contradiction in terms. That's why you can never have one." He's making his little point, but you see the point, right? Love is never something you earn. It's always a free gift. Second reason why Jesus isn't saying, "If you love me, then prove it," is because we can't prove it. Have you not noticed? You try to keep the commandments, and you keep failing again and again and again. No matter how hard you whiten your knuckles and steel your jaw, I might have mentioned this one before as well, but at one of these priest conferences, one of the priests stood up and in a very candid, honest moment, announced in front of all of his peers, "I know what's right and I know what's wrong. I know what's a sin and I know what's virtue. I know the difference between good and evil, and I know what I'm supposed to do. My problem is I just can't do it." Now that's God's honest truth. What we have to understand is what Jesus did mean when he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And what he means is love comes first. And the keeping of the commandments follows that. Stop and ask yourself, what is your conception of God? A lot of people have a very faulty conception of God. They think of God as the Force in Star Wars, for example, impersonal and distant. A lot of people think of God as being a clockmaker. Set the world in motion, sits back and watches it tick. Now, that's not the God who died on a cross for you, I guarantee it. What is your conception of God? Try to understand this. It's very easy for us to forget that God is personal and that God is a lover. You know how it is when you love somebody? They give you the slightest reason for you to love them more, and you flood them with more because you want it to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And what happens is you give God the slightest bit of your goodwill in your prayer, in your charitable interactions with other people, and he gives you more grace and more strength. And then you can keep the commandments better, and so on and so on and so on. That's why we pray. That's why we receive sacraments. That's why we do everything that we do as a church, to draw closer in love, in this mystical union with the persons of the Holy Trinity. That's what this is all about. But can I give you just a couple of little thoughts that you might help? It might help. You want to draw closer to someone you love? You want to draw closer to the living God? Remember this. Love never gives the least that it can possibly give. It always asks, what's the most I can possibly give? And strains that it can't give even more. Imagine a man who loves a lady, for example, and her birthday rolls around, and he says to himself, God, what's the least I can do to get through this irritating annual ritual? Would she be satisfied or placated if I got her a gift card to Walmart? Would that do it? No. No, it really wouldn't. Because love always gives the most that it can give. And that's how you show someone that you love them and draw them closer. Do you cut your prayer short? Do you truncate it? At the Mass, do you sit there and look at your watch and can't wait till this whole thing's over? Wait until you can scoot out the door as quick as you can. Not this week, because we're all glad to be back. But I mean, something to think about. You show God that you love him in giving him the most that you can possibly give. A second thing to keep in mind as we try to draw closer to this mysterious, living, loving God is we want to learn to love what God loves just because God loves it. That's what lovers do. I think I told you maybe once before, I had a friend in college who met this girl. She was from the country, Midwest somewhere. And lo and behold, she loved square dancing. He was from the Bronx. But he learned to love square dancing. Why? Because he liked her. Love does that. My little sister married a man who's an NC State sports fan. My sister couldn't care a rusty collar button for NC State. But now she's all go Wolfpack, right? Why? Because that's what love does. Ask yourself this question. Do you love what God loves? I talk to young people about chastity, comes up all the time. Probably mentioned this before too. And then they'll all say to me the same thing. Father, how far can I go before it becomes a sin? How far can I go? I always say, wrong question. The question to ask is, do I love chastity or don't I? Is it a value? It should be. It's a value to God. Or how about the truth? How far can I hedge, without actually telling a lie? Wrong question. Do you love what's true? Even when it's painful. Even when it's hard. Even when it makes you look bad. I want to love it because God loves it. Or how about mercy? People will say, well, I'll forgive him, but only if he deserves it. Mm-mm. No way. We love mercy because God loves mercy. You got to go through your whole list of virtues in your life and ask yourself, what's my motive? I want to love it because God loves it. And that's how we draw closer to this mysterious God of love. Why keep the commandments? Why keep the commandments? Stop and ask yourself this question. Why love? It's the exact same answer. So let's strive one more day so that his joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. Amen.